So this morning, we are continuing in the series that we have been going through called Top Model, and we are talking about how Jesus is the ultimate model for how we are to live our lives. Jesus, who is God, but also fully human, was the perfect example for us about how those of us who want to follow him, who want to live our lives according to God's will, should live our lives. But it's important to note that Jesus didn't do this alone. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus did his miracles, he was doing that by the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus taught, he was doing that in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit within him. And in fact, Jesus encourages us that we will do the things that he did. In fact, he says we will do even greater things than him, which is like mind-blowing, really, when you think about the things that Jesus did, all the healings he did, the incredible teaching he did. And he says, no, through the Holy Spirit, you can do this as well. You can carry on my ministry here on earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if we are to try to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, if we are to try to live out what he taught and how he modeled his life, then it only makes sense that if he did this in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we also need to be filled with the Spirit. But some of you might be like, well, that sounds like a great idea, but I have a question first. Like, and this is probably a good first question to start with, is simply, who is the Holy Spirit? Like, it's hard to be filled with the Spirit if we don't know who is the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is simply the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's part of what we call the Trinity. So it's one of the persons of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit that can actually come and live within us and empower us, just as it did Jesus. Well, if this is who the Holy Spirit is, and the Holy Spirit can empower me, the Holy Spirit can do incredible things in and through me, then my next question is, how do I receive the Holy Spirit? How do I receive the Holy Spirit? Well, in Luke chapter 11, Jesus says that the Father loves to give good gifts, and one of these things that he loves to give is the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. That's chapter 11, verse 13. So how do I receive the Holy Spirit? Ask God. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And part of this ask is saying to God, I want to live my life according to your will. I want to give you my life. I want to follow you, Jesus. I accept what you did for me when you went and you died on the cross. You rose again, defeating death, giving me access to eternal life, both in the now and in the time to come. Like, I want to say yes to that, and I want you to fill me with the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can begin to do a work in my life. So if you want to be filled with the Spirit, it starts by asking God to be filled with the Spirit. So if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, like, what does then the Holy Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, there are a few things that the Holy Spirit does. And this list may not even be, it might not even include all the things, but we're going to go through a few things that the Holy Spirit does. And in order to do that, we're going to go to John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, starting in verse 15, this is Jesus who is speaking, and he says, if you love me, you obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Okay, so this word that we've translated advocate in English, sometimes it's translated helper in some, sometimes it's translated comforter. There's different ways that this Greek word has been translated into English. But the word in Greek is parakletos. And what parakletos means, it's like the one who is called in or the one who is sent in. And it had various meanings in the culture of that time. One of them was someone who was sent in to represent you and to give you the courage to face different accusations you may be facing in the court of law, right? Almost kind of like a defense lawyer. So sometimes that is the meaning that parakletos was, someone who was sent in to defend you, to speak on your behalf in a court case. But often what parakletos was someone who was sent in to give you the courage you needed to face whatever you were facing in life. And often it was a military thing where the parakletos was sent in to give like this rousing pump-up speech to get the troops fired up to go to war. Like, you can do this. Like for me, I'm an athlete, so I think of like the coach who goes in to give, you know, the big pep talk before the big game, or at halftime, maybe you're down a little bit, and he encourages you to go out there and fight and to bring home that win. This is the idea, right? Someone who comes in and gives people the courage they need to face the things that they need to face. So that those two ideas of what a parakletos does gives us some idea of what the Holy Spirit might do. But the passage actually goes on to explain more than that. It says that he is the Spirit of Truth. And this Spirit of Truth apparently is going to do some things to help us. What does it say? Let's skip down to verse 25. It says, "All this I have still spoken while you were here, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Okay, so there's a few things we can pick out already in this. One is that the Holy Spirit teaches us. So the Holy Spirit helps teach us the things about how we are supposed to live our lives according to Scripture, according to the things that Jesus taught. And part of that, he says, is actually he reminds us. He brings back what we have already learned about following Jesus. He brings that back and helps us to remember it so that we can live according to God's will for our lives. He can guide us. He can give us the wisdom we need. Scripture says if any of us lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives it generously. He does this through the Holy Spirit. The fourth is encourages. And this is encourages in multiple ways. Often when we think of the word encourage, we think of like, you know, someone who says like a nice word when we're feeling down, or someone who says, "Wow, you're really good at this," and that encourages us. And the Holy Spirit does do that. The Holy Spirit does comfort us. He does encourage us when things aren't going well. He does give us the encouragement we need to keep persevering and keep living for God. But it's also talking about the kind of encourage that gives us courage to do the things that God is asking for us to do. Like if you read the book of Acts, the main character, you might think, well, maybe the main character is Paul, or you know, Peter might be a good secondary character, but the main character of Acts is actually the Holy Spirit. Look at how many times the book of Acts talks about the Holy Spirit. And often the Holy Spirit is doing one of a few things. But there's kind of two or three main things. The first is this. It says, and then, and you can insert Peter or Paul or any number one of the people in Acts, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke boldly or faced this boldly. So the Holy Spirit gives them this boldness, this courage to do things they otherwise wouldn't do. And sometimes, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes it gives them the courage to even face the rulers who said, don't talk about Jesus anymore, we're going to kill you. And then it says, filled with the Spirit, they boldly said, hey, we got to listen to God, not you. Like, it gives them this incredible boldness that they wouldn't have in and of themselves to do the things that God is calling them to do. And the other thing that it also does, we're going to skip down to 7 for a second here, is that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. So we see in Acts that people are given all kinds of different spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are like this supernatural ability to do things. Sometimes it's teaching. Sometimes it's speaking in tongues so that other people understood them in their own language, even though they didn't know those languages. Sometimes it was to heal. Sometimes it was to prophesy. There was all these different spiritual gifts. And you can read more about spiritual gifts if you want to. In 1 Corinthians 12, there's a pretty good list there. But he gives us these spiritual gifts. But also, what number 6 talks about here is it shapes our character. And I want to jump to Galatians chapter 5 to understand this, because it talks about how the Spirit shapes our character so that we can live and be more like Jesus and can reflect the character of God in our own lives. So Galatians chapter 5, let's go to verse 16. It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. So you got this battle going on between what the Spirit is trying to stir in you to live like and be like, and what our fallen, broken nature desires and wants us to live like. There's this battle going on. And so it says, they are in conflict with each other, and maybe you can relate to this next line, so that you do not do what you want. Like, have you ever experienced that? You want to do something. You think, I want to be more like this. I want to make decisions more like this. Like, I want to be a patient person. And then you face something challenging and you find you got angry again. And you're like, oh man, keep doing that. I don't want to do that. I want to do this. Maybe you can relate to that. Or you're like, okay, I want to be more truthful. I don't want to lie anymore. And then, you know, you get into a situation where you're like, oh, if I tell a lie here, I could get out of this. And you tell a lie, and you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. That's what this is talking about. We've all faced that battle, right, between what the Holy Spirit is stirring in us to live like and what we ultimately desire to live like through the Spirit in us and these other desires that come from our brokenness. And they battle. And sometimes, even though we don't like it, the sinful desires win out. But more and more, as we allow the Holy Spirit to be at work in us, the Holy Spirit can shape our character and begin to change and transform us to be more like God. So what are these? So it then gives like a whole list of kind of behaviors that come out of our sinful nature, right? It talks about sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, witchcraft. It gives a whole list. Hatred, rage, selfish ambition, like all these, like there's a whole list there. You can go and read all of it. And there's this whole list, and you read that list and you go, man, I do not want my life to be reflected by those kind of behaviors. But you probably also, as you read them, go, well, there's a few of them that maybe are a part of my life that I need to work on, that I need to grow on. And this isn't an extensive list. Like, the list could be much longer than this. of things that we live out, behaviors we live out in our brokenness. But it's interesting because on the sinful nature, it talks about behaviors. But when it talks about living by the Spirit, it talks about character. It talks about character because God is doing work. And ultimately, this is also sharing with us about who God is and his character. So let's read it together in verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Like, you listen to that list and you go, man, do I ever wish that that was what my character looked like, that I was full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Like, wouldn't I want my life to look like that? And by the Spirit, as we submit our life to the Spirit, it can increasingly look like that. Like, and like, if you were thinking about, like, wouldn't you want, like, if you were thinking about the perfect characteristics for, like, a good friend, like, that would be it, no? This is who we long to be. We long to be people that are filled with these things. But there's this battle going on, and we need the power of the Spirit. We can't get there by just trying harder. We can't get there by just trying harder. If you try harder to be like this, good luck to you. Without the power of the Spirit, we just don't have the strength in us, in our brokenness, to become like that in and of our own accord. It's challenging sometimes even with the Spirit in us. We need the work of the Spirit to do that. So if this is what the Holy Spirit does, then how do I live a life that is Spirit-filled? How do I live a Spirit-filled life? Well, I live a Spirit-filled life by listening and obeying the Spirit of God. It's interesting because it sounds really simple, and it is. It's simple, but it's not easy. Right? Something can be simple, as in not complicated, but hard, right? It can be difficult, even though it's simple. Like, it sounds so simple. You listen to the Holy Spirit, you obey the Holy Spirit. Okay, that doesn't seem too tricky. But this battle's going on, as we talked about, so it is. So what does it look like to listen and obey the Holy Spirit? Well, part of it is the Holy Spirit speaks to us through Scripture. So that's part of it. So we can, you know, read Scripture and listen to what it's saying and then try to live out the principles that it's teaching us. So that's part of it. But the Spirit still speaks to us today. It's not only through Scripture. The Spirit still speaks to us today. So that raises the question, well then, how does the Spirit speak to us? And I want to give you a list. It's not an extensive list because the Holy Spirit is unlimited in his creativity and ability to speak to us. However, it's a list of things that you'll find. Some of these in Scripture, and some of these are just ways I've seen the Holy Spirit either speak to me in my life or how I've seen the Holy Spirit speak to others. And so I just want to share them with you because here is what I would bet. I would bet if you say, well, I don't really hear the Holy Spirit in my life. I would bet that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you just don't recognize it as such. You think, oh, that was weird. I wonder what that was about. Oh, well, moving on. That the Holy Spirit could very well be speaking into your life trying to get your attention, trying to speak things into your life, and you just don't recognize it as such. So let's go through these things, and I want you to think about whether the Holy Spirit might be trying to speak to you through some, or has spoken to you through some of these ways, okay? All right, so let's get going. So the first is intrapersonal. So intrapersonal is like the Holy Spirit speaking to us through kind of like our own thoughts and ideas, like that still small voice that you hear about in Scripture, right? So it's not usually like this big booming voice that says, do this. You're like, ooh, what was that? No, it's more like, often it's just through our thoughts, ideas that come into our head. Like we're praying, we're asking God, what should I do here? And like these thoughts sometimes come into our head. And we're like, I wonder if that was the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk, if you're wondering, like, but how do I know if that's from the Holy Spirit or just my own wacky idea? We're going to talk about that. We'll get there. So put a pin in that. We'll come to that in a minute. But interpersonal, those thoughts and ideas that come into your head as you're praying, as you're interacting with God, as you're reading Scripture, as you're going about your day, sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us through our own thoughts, because the Holy Spirit is in us and is speaking to our spirit. And so sometimes that comes out in our thoughts and our ideas that the Spirit lays on our hearts. For some of us, it's music and art. Like the same Holy Spirit that through the power of the Holy Spirit, all of everything we see in creation was created by. So the Holy Spirit is creative. So it makes sense that the Holy Spirit could speak through creative arts. Yeah? Like, it's not that big of a stretch to think that. So sometimes, you know, certain songs, whether it's the lyrics or the melodies of it, they just point us to God. Or sometimes it's through art, like whether that's paintings or whether that's through, you know, drama and movies or whatever it might be. Like sometimes God can speak to us through the arts. And there's certain things he wants to speak into us. That's why the arts can be such a powerful way of sharing the gospel, because God can speak through them and does speak through them. Another one is physical, okay? So sometimes, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, I've had it a few times, sometimes somebody is speaking or there's like a moment and like I just get like this, like, it's hard to describe, but it's almost like I call them Holy Spirit, like goosebumps. Like I'm just like, ooh, the Spirit's here and doing something. What you said, I think that might have been from the Spirit. Ooh. Like I feel it in my body. I just have this sense like, I think the Spirit's stirring something. I sense that. I feel that in like a physical, tangible kind of way. Sometimes it's interpersonal. So inter as opposed to intra, inter is like between me and another person, right? So sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us through another person. Whether it's the Holy Spirit gave that person a word and they spoke it into our lives, or the person was just speaking and there was something we'd been thinking through and we're like, whoa, wait, I think there was something there. I think that might have been the Spirit. Whether you meant to speak through the Spirit or not, I don't know, but I think that was something. This idea of interpersonal, other people can speak truths into our lives from the Spirit. Sometimes it's like words or phrases. So words or phrases will come into our mind and we'll say, and we'll just be like, yeah, you know, we were praying about this, and I just think, like, I just have, like, this word, phrase that came into my mind, and I just want to speak it over your life, and can you just, like, say, can you just pray about it and think, like, could that be the Spirit? Like, a word, phrase comes in your mind. This often happens to me when I'm reading through Scripture, right? When I read through Scripture, I try to read. When I'm doing it from a devotional perspective, I try to read until something kind of like the word or phrase jumps off the page at me, and I'm like, oh, I think the Holy Spirit's saying something here. And then I sit with that. I listen to what the Spirit is saying. So sometimes it's through Scripture, these words or phrases, and sometimes it's just words or phrases that come to mind through prayer, through your day. So words and phrases are part of it. Now, this one is something that I do not experience, but I know people who have experienced this. This idea of like through logic or math or diagrams. Like if the Holy Spirit tried to speak to me through math, I'd be like, does not compute. Like, math is not, you know, my strong point. Like, simple math, fine. But you get into the math with letters and no thanks. I'm lost. But I've had people, even young people, who have said, Ryan, I just have like this equation of like how we could see this discipleship movement happen. I'm like, what? Like, so for some people, it's like this kind of very logical, it could be even formulaic way that the Holy Spirit speaks to them. And that's not my experience, but it's been people I know, their experience has been through that. Nature and creation, this is a common one. I mean, it makes sense that we would see God through creation when he's the one that created it. Like sometimes, like for me, one of the huge things are storms. Like storms, every time I'm in a storm, it's like the Holy Spirit is reminding me of the power of God. Like growing up on the prairies, I loved a big thunderstorm. Not so much the ones that had giant hail and wrecked everything, but, you know, the ones that just did lots of banging and crashing and lightning and rain. That was good, right? I was just like, oh, God is so powerful. Or when I lived on the island, like seeing like these huge storms with like these big waves and they're throwing like these huge logs onto the shore. And I'm like, oh, God is powerful. Or sometimes like one time it was snowing and it's like the Holy Spirit was saying to me, just like the snow is so white and pure, that's how God sees you because of Jesus in your life. I was like, whoa, that's, because I don't often see myself as like that pure and white, but through God, through the power of Jesus at work in my life, that's how God sees me. And I was like, that is beautiful. So nature, creation. And finally, the one I want to last one I want to share here is this idea of dreams, visions, like a picture of something visual comes into your mind. And you see lots of this in Scripture, where someone has like a dream, whether it's at night or like a vision, something that happens in the day, and they're like, "Wow, I think God might be trying to tell me something." And so, like the other day, I had this vision of a friend of mine, and I was like, "I think like God sees you as like a warrior princess, like you are like his princess, you're a princess, a daughter of the king, but like you're like a warrior princess that's ready to go to battle, to fight the spiritual battles with him." And she's like, "Whoa, that's so cool. I needed to hear that. I receive that. I think that's from the Holy Spirit." And so sometimes it's like this kind of vision, this dream that comes to your mind, like, because I was like, why am I thinking about this right now? But, and I told the person, I had the courage to tell them, and they're like, wow, that's really what I needed to hear right now. So there's all these different ways that the Holy Spirit can speak to us, and it probably could keep going on this list. But for now, that gives you some ideas of some of the ways that the Holy Spirit might be trying to speak to you in your life, or maybe already has spoke to you in these ways in your life. But the next question, of course, is, well, how do I discern if something is from the Holy Spirit, right? Because, you know, how do I know it's not just my own wingnut idea? And if you're me, if you're Ryan, you know that you have a lot of wingnut ideas. So you're like, how do I know whether this is from the Holy Spirit or just my own crazy thought, my own idea? How do I discern this? So what I want to do is I want to give you some questions that you can think through, that you can work through, and some strategies to think through, could this be the Holy Spirit? And if you just do like one of these tests, it may or may not be helpful, but if you go through a few of them, and it's like, this is looking positive, it's likely then that it is from the Holy Spirit. So let me give you some really practical ways to discern this. Okay. So first thing, is it in line with God's character? Of what you know from what Scripture says about God and who he is, does this line up with his character? So for example, we just read the fruit of the Spirit. The first one is love. Well, if the idea that's coming to your mind is something that's very unloving, probably not from God. Like, you don't have to go out on a limb too far to go, I don't think that's probably from God. That isn't loving. That doesn't promote love, that doesn't show love. That's probably my own idea, and I probably shouldn't pursue that. So is it in line with God's character? The second thing is, does it point you or others to greater relationship with God or greater relationship with people? If it's something that's coming into your mind and you're like, you know what, that actually, if I follow through on what I think about this, if I follow through on that idea, that thought, that would actually do damage to my relationship with God. Or conversely, that would do damage to my relationship with this person. Like that is not, that doesn't really seem to line up. Now, there are some times when we get words from God, and it is God speaking through us, and sometimes when we speak through that, the other person, because maybe it's something that, you know, God speaking a word of correction and it makes them uncomfortable and they respond negatively, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, like, something that is just like, it's just going to heap, like, shame, or it's just like you trying to gain power in a situation. If that's the kind of word it is, it's probably not from the Spirit. The third thing is, does it promote shalom and God's kingdom living? So in Scripture, this word shalom is often translated as peace. But peace does not do the word shalom justice. Because what it really means is like this holistic human thriving. It's a really holistic word. It doesn't mean just like the absence of conflict. It means like you are thriving as a human being. So if it's something that promotes thriving for you or for others, that might be from the Holy Spirit. And this idea of God's kingdom living, well, what is ultimately kingdom living? Well, it's living out God's will on earth as it is in heaven, right? Jesus teaches us this in the Lord's Prayer. So if it's in line with God's ultimate will of no more pain, no more suffering, no more death, like these kinds of things, like creation is restored to the way it was supposed to be, if it's a word that lines up with that kind of idea of kingdom living in that way that promotes this shalom, this human thriving, it might be from the Spirit. Fourth thing, does it line up with Scripture? Because if Scripture is God's way of inspiring those that wrote it to write words that are from God, then it makes sense that the Holy Spirit is not going to speak a word that contradicts Scripture, that goes against what the Bible says. So if you get a word, if you get a vision, you could be like, well, what does the Bible say about this? And you know, with our handy phones and computers, you can even just word search, and it'll give you all these different things that will come up on that topic or that word related to what the Bible has to say, right? So it's never been easier to double check according to Scripture than it is now. So does it line up with Scripture? The fifth one is it in line with your character or their character or your calling or their calling if you're speaking into someone else's life? Now, this is, and when we talk about character, we mean like who God has really designed them to be. And this is sometimes a trickier one because we're broken, sometimes there's aspects of our character that aren't, you know, that God hasn't fully sanctified in our lives, right? He hasn't fully changed that part of our life. So I'm not talking about that aspect. I'm talking about like who God really designed them to be. Does it line up with who they seem to be? Like, does that seem like it's a word that is fitting for who you are or for who that person is? Now, it might be a word that's stretching for you because God stretches us and pushes us past what we feel is comfortable all the time, right? Like, I was reading a book by Beth Boreham, and she talks about, you know, how God stirs something new in our life. And she says, like, if it's a call from the Lord, it will probably both exhilarate you and terrify you all at the same time. And I feel that. Like often God, he'll say, Ryan, I want you to do this. I'll feel that from the Spirit. And I'll be like, whoa, that's exciting. But also, oh my goodness, I don't think I'm good enough to do that. I cannot pull that off. And then the Holy Spirit has to remind me, yeah, but in me, you are enough. In and of yourself, sure, you're not. But in me, you're enough. I'm like, okay, all right, let's do this then. Let's keep going. A couple more. Is it wise? Like, does it seem like a wise thing to do? And I don't just mean in your own wisdom. I mean, like, from what Scripture says about wisdom, like Proverbs is a book of wisdom. You could maybe go there. There's all kinds of wisdom found in Scripture. You could go to others and ask them this question, like, do you think it's wise? Do you think that this is, if I follow through on what I think might, what this being maybe a word from the Spirit, do you think it's wise? And if people are like, if a lot of people are like, I don't know, or if you're like, that doesn't really seem to line up with wisdom. In fact, that actually might be quite foolish. Maybe it's not from God. Maybe it's not from the Spirit. And finally, the last one, and we've already kind of hinted and alluded to this, is do other followers of Jesus that you trust, do they resonate with the word? When you say, I think the Holy Spirit is saying this to me, when you share that with other believers that you trust, do they go, wow, yeah, I think that's true. I think the Holy Spirit is trying to speak that into your life. I think that is a word from God. I think that image or that dream or that vision, I think it is from God. And I think this is what it might mean. Like, God gives us community for a reason. We're not supposed to just discern what we think the Holy Spirit might be saying to us alone. We're supposed to do it in community. I mean, if we do it alone, that's just an echo chamber, right? We're going to get stuck in biased confirmation. I want this to be true, and therefore, if I just think about it on my own, I'll have a tendency to make sure that what I want to be true is true. But if I do it with people I trust, they might be like, you know, Ryan, I actually think God might be saying this. And be like, but I don't want God to be saying that. And they'd be like, yeah, but I think he might be. What do you think? And then you'll have to sit with it and go, yeah, I think you might be right. Do others resonate with the word? That's another great test. So here, there's seven tests. You know, like, there could be more that maybe you have, that you think of, and you can talk about that. Maybe in your groups this week, you can talk about, like, different checks you do to see if it's from the Holy Spirit. But here's at least seven kind of questions or tests that you can use to discern whether something is from the Holy Spirit or not. So, my prayer and my hope for all of you is that you would live a Spirit-filled life. And so what I want to do is I just want to pray that over you. I want to pray that over you now, that God would fill you with His Spirit and that you could live a Spirit-filled life. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you that you did not leave us alone, but that you sent your Spirit to live in us, to shape our character, to show us how we're supposed to live our lives, God. And I just pray for each one who is watching this, God, that you would fill them with your Spirit, God. You would empower them by your Spirit. You would help them to see how you are speaking to them through your Spirit, God, and that you would give them the boldness through your Spirit to live in obedience to the ways that you are calling them into, Jesus. Help us as a church to ultimately be led by your Spirit, to walk in step with your Spirit, not running ahead, not lagging behind, but step in step with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us. May you be filled with the Spirit and live in obedience to the Spirit this week. God bless.